Welcome to the Lob Podcast. This is our final World Cup podcast. I'm here with the co-host, the amazing, worn out from his trip to Kiev, but still standing, Mr. Stephen Scragg. How are you, Stephen?
I'm fine, thanks, Jim. How are we doing there? Yeah, exhausted by all means, yes. I've not known what day of the week it was at times this week, and yeah, completely forgot my name at times, and all sorts. I got back to Liverpool, 2:30 on Tuesday morning, and then I was on a train to the Lake District within an hour from Lime Street to catch up with my family, who were off for 5 days of camping. So, and then yeah, threw himself. So I've kind of like done without a bed for a week until I managed to stagger in through the door.
Well, you really are a glutton for punishment, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're gonna do it properly, Jim. Do it properly. do it properly. why go for half measures? Why go for half measures? You're never gonna remember the half measures. Go for the full measures.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we figured Stephen and I figured we'd finish this thing off with kind of a little bit of a sending off and bring back a couple of our favorite guests from the series and do a little bit of a prediction podcast and have a little fun. So joining us this week, we've got two of our absolutely favorite guests from the series. Joining us, first of all, is Mr. Stuart Horsfield. Stuart, how the heck are you, buddy?
Hey, Jim. Good, thanks. a lot more rested than Stephen. I watched it from the comfort of my own home. Then I had half-term holiday, so I'm quite relaxed and ready to go.
Excellent.
Just waiting. It's the anticipation now of the World Cup. It's those sort of killer 2 or 3 weeks between European Cup final and the start of the World Cup. It's that limbo. I'm just trying to will the time away, I think.
I know, it's that 2 weeks of just, just those weak, you know, sort of practice games and.
I've learned as an England fan to take no notice of those, because after today already, I can see it in the papers. It'll be this and that, and England will do this. So I didn't even watch the game today. I've learned to not watch and not either build up any hopes during those warm up games.
I'll tell you how crap today's game was. Gary Cahill scored.
yeah, they say it's the hope that kills you, don't they? There's a reason why I don't watch them.
So, but you must be enjoying the fact that the Germans are beating the crap out of each other ahead of the World Cup.
I couldn't believe that when I read it. It's so un-German. It's not even true.
I loved it. I'm like, what? They're fighting each other?
I must admit, it was one of those stories where you think, is it? You have to sort of go around a few sort of news sources just to make sure that they're all saying the same thing.
Fake news.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the most un-German story I think I've ever heard.
I know. I loved it.
Trying to make up for the lack of the Netherlands. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's been fighting.
The next thing I'm going to read about probably is French unity on the team.
Oh, anything's possible if the Germans falling out. Anything is possible.
And finally, joining us is our celebrity guest, Mr. Gary Thacker. Our newly minted celebrity author. How are you, Gary?
I'm great, thanks, Jim. Hiya, Stu. Hiya, Stevie.
Hey, Gary.
Fresh off his audience on Talksport Radio there in the UK. A couple 3 hours of celebrity talk there, Gary. I'm surprised you'd still come do this.
Hey, I've always been loyal to the TFT team, Jim, but we had a great time. Yeah, it was fantastic. Never thought I'd be on national radio talking about football, mate. But what a joy.
I got to tell you, mate, your book is absolutely fantastic. It is just a joy to read. Everyone must buy this book. anyone who's a football fan. It's lovely. It's called, I'm going to get it wrong, Cheers, Jeers, and Tears. Is that correct?
Not quite, Jim.
Not quite.
It's called It's Cheers, Tears, and Jeers, History of England and the World Cup, available on all the good websites. It's on Amazon, Foyles, Dewed, Smith, Waterstones. Type my name in, Gary Thacker, and you'll find it anyway. But type in the World Cup, you'll find it. And that's actually how I got on TalkSport. One of the hosts on there actually was searching for somebody who knew a little bit about the World Cup. Type World Cup into Amazon, and my book came up, and hence the invitation to go and talk to them on TalkSport. But so he bought the book. I tell you what, the guy was fantastic. He must have plugged the book 24 times in the 3 hours we were on air.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm really happy for you, Gary, because anyone who knows Gary knows that he's the most fantastic guy, so humble, and he deserves all the success in the world. So I'm very happy for you, Gary.
Bless you, Jim. Thanks so much, matey.
So on we go, huh? So let's talk about this crazy World Cup coming up. I thought maybe we could go a little bit, let's just talk about the groups a little bit before we start trashing England, if that's okay. In Group A, we've got the hosts, which I think, the next two hosts are probably the worst two hosts, well, since South Africa, than I could think of. Russia, so in Group A, we've got Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. So, Stephen, what was your first impression when you saw this group?
I think with a lot of these groups, on first viewing, they all seem entirely forgettable as soon as you see them. But it's when you scratch under the surface and come to have a second look, because you go through the groups and you're looking for that stereotypical group of death that isn't there really, but there are. Interesting groups when you come and take a second look at them. And Group A is one of those groups on the quiet, because Egypt, you're looking at Salah, their first World Cup since 1990. The hosts will always generate an interest in a World Cup. And then you've got Uruguay with Suarez, obviously. So, there should be the scope for some very good football in Group A. I'm looking for Russia to go through. Whether they will or not is another matter. But I think a World Cup benefits, we said it before, a World Cup benefits from the host nation doing well, or progressing from the group stages into the knockout stages, because it helps generate the crowd. It keeps a vibrancy around the World Cup. And I think it's important that Russia do well.
I agree. I agree. I think it is important. I think it is important. I agree. What about you, Stu?
Stephen's dead right. I mean, for a World Cup to be, you look for a World Cup to sort of build, and the anticipation to get bigger and bigger as you get towards the knockouts, the knockout rounds and the finals, and you need you need your host nation to do well, because it maintains interest in the host country. And I think what's worked well for Russia in this group is their opening game is Saudi Arabia, then it's Egypt, then it's Uruguay. Obviously, it's very difficult to predict, but I think Russia can grow into it. I think if they'd faced maybe Uruguay first, and maybe suffered a defeat in that opening game, all of a sudden the pressure's on. But I think all things being equal, I think Russia should take 3 points from that opening game, and then hopefully confidence will build. I think the middle game, against Egypt is going to be the one. That's going to be the crucial game. Uruguay, I think have got a good chance. I think they're a good side. But I think from Group A, Russia definitely need to qualify, definitely need to progress if the tournament is gonna stand up as a tournament on its own. I think it needs its host nations to do well, and I think they've got a great opening game, a great chance. Stephen's right; they could have, the group of death doesn't really seem to exist, in this World Cup. So I think they've been given a decent. A decent chance really to get out of that group, and then once it's knockout football, then as we know, it's up for grabs then.
I think you guys are wrong about the group of death, but we'll get to that. what about you, Gary? Group A.
I think I broadly agree with what the guys say. I think the structure of the games and the way they're going to pan out in the group suits Russia and Uruguay and doesn't suit Egypt. I think Russia will beat Saudi Arabia quite comfortably, and I think Uruguay will beat Egypt. And then Russia playing Egypt next. If Russia win that game, that's job done. Russia are through, and Egypt are probably out, which is strange because they've got some... It's a long time since they qualified for a World Cup finals, and they've got some decent players. But I just think that group, the way it's structured, doesn't work for them. It works for Russia and it works for Uruguay. If Egypt don't take anything off Uruguay in their first game, I think they're going to struggle. So I'll go with the guys. I'll say Russia and Uruguay to go.
Yeah. Within that, it's not impossible for Egypt. You only have to look at Costa Rica last time out in playing Uruguay and Italy and getting wins against them. You know, Egypt could be this World Cup's Costa Rica to a degree. But if Egypt were to make it, you know, they can make it beyond this group, but it's hard for them to make it beyond this group. But if they do make it beyond the group, then they earn it because of the way the fixtures are structured. You know, to face Uruguay, then Russia, and then have what you perceive to be the easiest game of the group for them, Saudi Arabia, last of all. They are unfortunate in that basis that they could be out by the time they play Saudi Arabia. But if they're not, then, you know, you're looking at Uruguay or Russia to fall on the face. But within that, you can look at Russia again and say, well, look, if they get it badly wrong in that opening game against Saudi Arabia, then it's a massive, massive hill to climb to get through as they face Egypt and then Uruguay. So, there's no definitive group of death. There's one that comes close, but for me there are groups that are more interesting than they appear on first viewing, and Group A is one of those groups.
I think you're right, Steve. I mean, you can't predict anything. If football, predicting football proves anything, it proves that predicting football is crazy, because there's always the results that go against you. And Costa Rica, you know, drawn last time in a group with three previous champions and topped the group. You know, it was a surprise, and it's difficult to predict surprises because, by definition, they're surprises. And the structure of the games doesn't help Egypt at all.
No, not at all. But it's, you know, in a way, it could work out well for them that they've got to be, you know, on the ball and focus from where go. So, you know, there is that concept that they have to hit the floor running, and, you know, if you're looking for, there'll be a surprise somewhere.
Oh, there will, yeah.
There'll be someone who'll make the quarterfinals that you would never have predicted, and there's no saying it won't be Egypt. You know, there is a chance, but at the same time, they could just crash out at the first hurdle, and that's something that we'll discuss with Iceland as well.
Steve, harsh.
No, this is still to come. Me and Jim have discussed this, and we're
saying we have. There used to be for like 40 years, there was this political show on in the United States called the McLaughlin Group. And it was this old cranky dude named John McLaughlin. And he would ask a question and he'd go around and everyone would answer it, and at the end of it he would go, "Wrong! You're all wrong. Here's the real answer." So I'm going to do my John McLaughlin now. Wrong. It's Uruguay and Egypt go through. You're all wrong.
I'll tell you what. Best opinions, Jim.
Yeah, I think what would be interesting, obviously, when you're in the opening group and, you know, nerves play a part, I think two draws in that game and all of a sudden that group becomes... You know, if both games end in a draw, all of a sudden it is really wide open then.
It becomes those early
tournament jitters are there, and you get caught in the trap of not wanting to lose your opening game, and all of a sudden, you know, after the first round of games, everyone's on one point, the whole thing will change.
So does anyone have an opinion on on Group B outside of Portugal and Spain?
Morocco will do well, but Portugal and Spain are going to walk that group up
It's hard to see anyone beyond Portugal or Spain there. Yeah. The fact that they play each other first as well gives them that chance to, you know, if someone walks out of that game and they've lost, they've got two games there to connect themselves. But if someone is going to upset it, then it's Morocco. The fact that they'll play Iran first as well, which is advantageous for them, you know. So if they can get a win against Iran, then, you know, they are there to... They then have Portugal and Spain. So any kind of error from Portugal and Spain is there to be exposed by Morocco. So, you know, if there is to be a big victim in that group, then, you know, Morocco are going to be the side to deliver that punch.
You
would be insane not to predict Portugal and Spain to go through there.
The odds are after the first games that Morocco will be top of the group. I mean, they've got Iran and Portugal and Spain. You can see that being a draw, so they could well be top of the group after the first games.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, I mean, the 2026 hosts will have been decided by then as well. Which you know, Morocco might well walk into that World Cup as the host, of 2026. I mean, it doesn't sound like it to me. I mean, you know, stranger things have obviously happened, you know, but yeah, there's no saying that Morocco won't know themselves to be the host of the 2026 World Cup by then, which will have been a huge, huge boost to them going into that World Cup. But conversely, you know, should it go against them, then, you know, there'll be a cloud over them perhaps.
Well, Group C is by no means the group of death. It is one of the most interesting groups, I believe, this entire World Cup. We've got Australia, Denmark, France, and Peru. And anybody who discounts Peru is out of their mind, in my opinion. What do you think?
Completely.
You know.
Completely. Peru are my side. They are my South American side of choice. They always have been. They always will be. And I'm so looking forward to seeing them back at the World Cup. You know, that white shirt with the red sash across it. You know, it's such an evocative shirt. And this is the thing for me. I'm trying to embrace this World Cup in a retrospective way. In a way, is that I'm looking for the ghosts of the past there. And I'm so looking forward to seeing Peru turn out at the World Cup again. And it is, you know, on paper, the most attractive looking group, arguably, of this World Cup, and because I know I have a massive soft spot for Denmark as well, because of that LKR and Laudrup side from the 1980s.
And this
is a group that just kind of like appeals to my inner child. You know the France of Euro 84 and España 82 and Mexico 86 are the one that, you know, they are the France that I always think. When I think of the French national side, it's that France that I think of, not the, you know, the second coming of the 98 World Cup and so on. It's the Platini, it's the magic square. It's all of that for me with France. And if you throw it in Peru and Denmark, and they're not those sides from the 80s, but, you know, to me, you can't shake that aura away from them. And Group C is one of those that I'm massively looking forward to seeing, because every game looks so, you know, inviting, you know, when you're just looking at the fixtures and the games. France versus Australia, Peru versus Denmark, Denmark-Australia, France-Peru, Denmark-France, Australia-Peru. It all just trips off the tongue for me, and it's... I'm massively looking forward to Group C.
Stu, what do you think?
Yeah, Stephen's right. When the groups come out, you have a look and you plan your days and you plan travelling time. Is there a game you can miss to get home for one game? And you look at Group C and you just think there isn't a game there that I wouldn't want to see. There's not a game there that I want to miss. I think if there's a group that's got goals in it, I think that's the group.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's goals there.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of goals in that group. And I think, I mean, Stephen's, we've chatted about this at length on previous podcasts and amongst ourselves, but it's almost like a throwback to those World Cups from the 80s. And I know what Stephen is saying. I've really invested in this World Cup. Like, I haven't invested for quite a while, and I'm willing you know, this World Cup to at least recapture a little bit of that. And Group C, is one of those groups where, you know, you look back and, yeah, every game in that group was fantastic. Hopefully in sort of 12, 16, 20 years' time, and you're looking back at, you know, the 2018 World Cup, I think Group C, are the romantic in me, hopefully. I think Group C will stand out and will live long, you know, in this World Cup. I hope it will anyway. I'm desperate for it too. But if goals are your thing and retrospective World Cups are your thing, then Group C for me all day. So and I think France, obviously we'll come back, I think France are in with a shout of going a long way, provided they can get out the group. Because I think it's quite an open group. I think they will get out of it. But as we alluded to earlier, that relies a lot on the Gallic nature, shall we say, of the French side, and maintaining a sense of unity for a month sometimes takes quite a bit of work for them.
So who comes out with them?
Peru.
Oh, good man. Okay. Good man. Yeah.
Peru for me. I'm desperate for South America to do well in this World Cup. Yeah. Desperate.
I think the great thing with this group is that any of them could go through. And it's not just a case of saying who goes through with France either. Yeah. There's no saying France progress there. It could be, you know, it could be Denmark, Australia, Peru, Denmark. You know, it could be any permutation of those four sides. And like Stuart says, it just depends which France show up and how harmonious they are.
So, Gary, I mean, does Christian Eriksen have a World
it's
Cup
funny you
to
mention
remember?
Christian Eriksen, Jim, because I think this guy could be one of the stars of the whole tournament. Personally, I think Denmark could well win that group. Then again, look at the games, the way they fall. France will beat Australia in the first game. You have to believe that. You know that's almost the night you'd think. Peru Denmark will be a pivotal game, as will France Peru. I think Denmark would probably beat Peru, and if they do, they've got Australia in the next game. That could almost book the place there without the last game, playing the last game. The pressure then would be on France. France do not respond very well when they're under pressure and they lose the first game or they've got to win a game to get through. I think a lot depends on how well Pogba plays and how well Griezmann gets the service provided for him to score goals. If they play well, if Griezmann gets the chances, he'll put the ball in the back of the net. But I can see, I think Denmark could well win the group, and I think Peru could qualify with them. I wouldn't be at all surprised if France do not get out of the group.
I wouldn't either. I would not be shocked if France did not make it out of this group. And I would not.
That's a great.
And I would.
It's a great thing about France, though, isn't it? That you wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make it out of the group. Yeah, you would not be surprised if they walk away with the World Cup.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In 6 weeks' time.
So before I move on to Group D, which stands for what? Death. Group D stands for death. Stephen. I have to report a bit of news that just came across my phone, which is good news for Group D. And I'm not kidding, it literally just came across my phone. Gylfi just came into a match, which is gigantic news for Iceland, because he's been injured, as you know. So he just came into a match against Norway. So, as we move to Group D, Argentina, Croatia, Iceland, and Nigeria. Now, for those of you who may have just tuned in to this, I kind of like Iceland. A little
bit. We've entered the no-shit. Yeah. We've entered the no-shit Sherlock period of the podcast.
Right. We're in the no-spin zone here. And for those of you who don't follow my Twitter feed, I have put a shitload of money on them to at least draw Argentina in the first match. So, full disclosure as we go through this group. They did face Croatia in their qualifications, and they won once, and they lost once against Croatia in the qualifications. So, there is that going into it. Guys, I think Argentina is on shaky ground going into this group. Gary, what are your thoughts about that?
I really, really, really want to say I think Iceland will do well, Jim, but I think you're going to struggle there, mate. One World Cup, Messi is going to turn up. And when I say turn up, I mean be the force in the tournament. I can't see Argentina not winning that group. And Nigeria are the lowest ranked African side, I believe, in the tournament. Iceland, they've got an outside chance. But I think it's an outside chance. Personally, I think Argentina will win the group. Croatia will come second. I want to say Iceland will do well, Jim, and you know, and they're a coming force. And I just can't. I think it might be a bit too soon for them in the development of football in Iceland.
Okay. Hey, listen, it's fine. You're not hurting my feelings. Trust me. I want you guys to be honest because I'm always honest about England.
Too right. As are we.
Yeah.
Too true. You know, when it comes to this group, I really do believe this may be, you know, as I look through all the groups, I think this may be the most competitive group. Now, it is not a classic group of death. You're right. It is not a classic group of death. But
it's the closest we come to it, though, Jim.
I think it is
the closest that resembles it. Yeah.
Yeah, I really do believe that. It's not as beautiful as Group C, right? From that term. But I think it's the most competitive group. And I love that, right? And, you know, when I talked to Arnar Bill, who's the head of the FA there in Iceland, I said, you know, you've been drawn into the most competitive group. And he said, yes. I said, how does that make you feel? And he said, we love the challenge. And I'm like, okay, well, great, bring it on. All right, let's go. So, you know, they don't approach this match any differently than they approach any other match, you know, playing against Messi in Argentina. So I think they go into this thing with the right attitude. So, I feel that that maybe they get a point against Argentina. Maybe they lose against Croatia, but they probably beat Nigeria.
Yeah, I think for me, all the pressure's on Argentina in that group. Without a shadow of a doubt, it is all on them. The other three are almost liberated, I think, by the pressure that's on Messi, that's on Argentina. And I think the other three will go in there with the feeling almost of nothing to lose. And by proxy, that makes it very competitive. And we've talked about, you know, the way the fixtures run. And I think for Iceland, I think you're right. I think the fixtures are well set up for them. I think Argentina will be nervy. I think they'll be wary of losing the opening game. I think it's all ifs and buts, but I certainly think Argentina will set out not to lose it, which, you know, could be to Iceland's advantage. And you're right. Iceland could well be on 4 points after two games. But I think for me, I think there's so much pressure on Argentina that the other three will, you know, are liberated by that. And just see that, you know, they're all playing for second place. And I think they've all got as much chance as each other, which I know is very on the fence. I appreciate that. But I think they've all got as much chance as each other. And I just think the fixtures favour Iceland a little bit more than they do maybe the other two sides. I see it.
But Stephen, this one puzzles me, right? What about the exclusion of Mauro Icardi?
It could be, you know, a massive turning point. You know, it could make a massive difference. But so much could, you know, it's that intangible variance of effects of a group and of a World Cup is that you always get these. You know, you often get the main protagonists who are drawn up. You can draw up a list of names that should dictate a World Cup, and then they don't. You know, you can go back to kind of like Salvatore Scalacci. You know, there is always going to be an unlikely hero that emerges from the shadows and makes a name for themselves. And that's the beauty of this group, is that in a similar way to Group C, I can see any permutation of those sides progressing. We've discussed it, Jim, in that Iceland could fall at the first hurdle quite convincingly, yet they could go as far as the semi-finals. I don't think, you know, I think I've had a cursory look at how the groups, you know, the knockout stages pans out beyond this group for Iceland. And it's not that bad if they can get through the group. I think there's one side of the draw that is actually quite sedate compared to the other side. And there is a path to be plotted into the later stages of the tournament, but not just Iceland, but anyone that escapes this group. That could be Croatia, Nigeria, Argentina. You would expect to get to the to the later stages, but they've proved themselves that they're fallible to fall in at the group stages of a World Cup before. But no, Iceland will be boom or bust at this World Cup. They will crash out, and no one will blame them for doing so, or they could completely upset the apple cart and go a long, long way into it. You don't go to the quarterfinals of a European Championship easily, and they've already done that. They'll go into this with a massive amount of confidence from that, and they are an emerging force in the same way that other Scandinavian nations have in the past, and it's great to see. It's great to see them doing so well. I can remember them being, the whipping boys of so many groups, and I think the most compelling thing that they ever did was I think they stopped Wales. They put a spanner in the work for Wales in the early 80s for a World Cup or a European Championship. A 2-2 draw at Ninian Park or something like that springs to mind, sat watching Sports Night one night when Wales should have qualified so many of those tournaments during the 80s and the 70s that Wales should have got to and didn't. And that was what they were, known for many, many years, but they've obliterated that now over the last few years. You can go back to kind of like the emergence of Ida Goodjohnsen, I've got the right country there, haven't I? I'm thinking of Finland rised as well. There was the rise of Finland as well, because this rise of Iceland could have been Finland, and because they, with Litmanen and so on and so forth, and because of that joy that I got out of Denmark, I've always kept an eye on the progression of the Scandinavian nations. You had that rise of Norway in the early 80s into the mid to late 90s, and all these nations that were just seen as in England, in the UK, they were cast as kind of like clowns almost, and it was ridiculous. And it always used to annoy the hell out of me, that whole kind of like when Norway beat England in 81, 2-1, and the brilliant commentary of Lord Beaverbrook and Princess Diana, your boys took a hell of a beating and all that kind of stuff. But it was still seen as kind of like a novelty and a pantomime of some description, and they're far from it. They come forth and they're organised and difficult to play against and can play with the ball at the feet. And those fans that tipped up in France were just phenomenal. And as much as kind of like Costa Rica were the true story of 2014, Iceland were the story of Euro 2016. And I'm so looking forward to seeing this group and seeing if Iceland can do well. No saying they won't take something off Argentina in that first game. If you want to play Argentina, play them first up. Load that first. Just when they're kind of like that little bit nervous and a little bit, precarious, and just go for it. If I take something out of that, then the ball is rolling.
No question about it. I mean, so just as an update, a live update here, Gylfi just scored, by the way.
See, it's a sign, Jim. It's all a sign.
This is it.
It's
stars aligning.
It's written in the stars, Jim.
I said it about Liverpool's Champions League campaign in that you could, Liverpool could win the Champions League, or would they? Could and would, can and will are, two polar opposites. But in Iceland's case, like Liverpool's case, with I'm not drawing comparisons to the way they play or anything like that, but that kind of like sense of this shouldn't happen is that those two concepts are so close together, can and will, and it's going to be a hair's breadth between the two for Iceland.
Well, I have no illusions about Iceland winning the World Cup. Trust me.
No, but they can go a long way, though. I mean, you only have to look at... I mean, I think this World Cup needs a number of things, and it needs South America to do well.
Yes.
And it needs a couple of really inspiring surprises. it's like Bulgaria getting to the semi-finals in 94 or Sweden. Yes. I'm not looking for a 2002 where there are too many shocks, but what I'm looking for is a couple of nations to step forward and really go for it and get to the latter stages.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, Group E has some of that, right? I mean, Group E is, wow, talk about a loaded group. Brazil, Costa Rica, Serbia, and Switzerland. You know.
Yeah, again, it's got potential there, hasn't it? But you know, Brazil can wipe the floor there. But, you know, Costa Rica, you've got to look at Costa Rica again because they just seem to pull it out for World Cups whenever they're involved. You know, 1990, you go back to that victory over Scotland that was just so shocking at the time. And how good were they 4 years ago? How good were they 4 years ago? You know, but Serbia and Switzerland, again, there's some of those nations that could sink or swim at this tournament. I've yet to see a compelling Serbia side that kind of like inherits the mantle of Yugoslavia in the way that Croatia have in the style and the verve of the play. You know, you think of the continuation of the old Yugoslavia, and I don't attach that to Serbia.
No, I don't I attach it way more to Croatia. But, you know, Stu, I mean, do you see like just a shit ton of goals coming out of this group E?
I think Group E is a real juxtaposition of functional footballing teams and flair. You know, I think the group is literally split in half. And apart from the sort of Switzerland-Serbia game, which is one of those games where I'll probably be traveling to another game.
No, hold on. What do you mean split in half? Because I don't think Costa Rica is anything like they were 4 years ago.
No, but I think they'll play with, you see, again, I come back to this romantic note. I just want sides to play. I just want them to play the game. I want them to entertain. I want them to, I don't want teams to play to not lose. I want teams to go out and try and win. That's what I want. And I think Costa Rica will try that. Yes. I think that's what they'll do. I think Switzerland, Serbia will be very functional, very well organized.
They'll play the percentages, won't they?
I think they will, and I think Brazil. You know, we all know Brazil. We all know what we want to see from Brazil. We all know almost what you demand Brazil to deliver at World Cups. And like I say, I think apart from the Switzerland Serbia game, I think I will watch. I will gladly watch Costa Rica. I will certainly watch Brazil. It's the Switzerland Serbia. Who comes out second? Again, that's like most of these groups. It's, you know, it really is up for grabs. I certainly can't see Brazil. Brazil will not. If there's a team and a group that where you can call the group winners, it's this one. Brazil will win this group without a shadow of a doubt. He says on record.
So Gary, outside of we know Neymar is going to be brilliant, right? But you know, I mean. Do we look at Gabriel Jesus? Do we look at Willian? I mean, who do we look at as like the second sort of great player here coming on for Brazil?
I guess Jesus would fit right into that bill. This could be his World Cup. Neymar, I don't know. He's got a lot of weight to carry on those slender shoulders. I just think this group could be a real surprise. I think Serbia they're like a street fighter team. I mean, you look at the players in their squad and they've got people like Branislav Ivanovic, they've got Nemanja Matic, they've got players who Alexander Kolarov, who've been around the block a few times. They always strike me as being robust. I mean, Mitrovic they've got as a striker, and they've got the talented that guy that a lot of big European clubs are after at the moment, that Milinkovic-Savic. I think Serbia will qualify. I wouldn't be surprised if they had to get a draw out of Brazil as well. And if Germany win Group F and they have to face Serbia, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Serbia give them the toughest game they have in the tournament.
Interesting, but I mean, a lot of those players you just named, Gary, are like, their ages start with the number 3.
You're absolutely right, Jim, and I think that's another reason why this is their last hurrah. You know, as I say, they've been around the block a few times. Their case hardened, not only in international competitions, but also in the clubs they play for. You know, they've been around the block a few times. I just think this is going to be this generation's Serbia, their last chance at a major competition. And I don't think they're going to win it. I don't think they're going to come close to winning it. But if they finish behind Brazil, as Stu said, I think Brazil will win this fairly comfortably. But I think Serbia will give Germany a tough game. And I use the word tough advisedly. I think it'll be a physical game. That could well upset Germany.
Well, any match that Nemanja Matic plays in is a tough match. So we know that. But so you're...
Too right, mate.
I mean, you're calling Brazil Serbia.
Absolutely. Well, Brazil and Serbia, probably in that order, but not. I'm not as definitely convinced that Brazil are going to be the force that a lot of people think they are.
I'm just
not sure about them.
Yeah, we'll get to the knockout rounds here in a little bit, but you're you're definitely saying. I mean, I think we all agree that Brazil's going to win this group. But
I'm sure, Brazil and Serbia for me.
Okay, all right, and Stephen.
Brazil and any other, really. I mean, I think we're all discounting Switzerland there, who just have this propensity to dig in major tournaments. It's within that kind of like, it's another one of those groups that, you know, you assess on second or even third view, I think, that you think, well, actually there's some intrigue to be found here. It could be the surprise group, as in it's more entertaining than people expect. But you'd have to take Brazil to ease through in this group, even given down to the way that the fixtures pan out for them. Switzerland, Costa Rica, and then Serbia. It's just made for Brazil to ease through as group winners, with any one of the other three to follow them through.
So does Group F get interesting all of a sudden now that Germany's like fist fighting each other, or does that even matter?
I think that's the great thing there, is that it's the great unknown, really. It's you know, Germany do not fall out, Germany do not self-destruct. You know, I think you can look as to a couple of European championships where they have, but that was more down to, you know, a stale nature of the way that they played, you know, Euro 2000, Euro 2004, that they just got to a point where that reinvention was on the brink of happening. And I think Lothar Matthäus went to Euro 2000 when a lot of the squad didn't want him to be there. Erich Ribbeck, I think it was the coach at that tournament, and there was quite a degree of rancor amongst the squad, which was completely un-Germanic, and they went out of the group stages. So that's the closest there's ever been to, you know, a German meltdown at a major tournament. So it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, it does suddenly get interest in Germany. Suddenly, you know, we've spoke so many times over the course of this series of podcasts, is that expectancy of Germany to do well, that you just expect it, which means that you don't appreciate what they've done, or, you know, they're unheralded, massively successful, but unheralded for it. Yet suddenly this kind of like potential ticking time bomb, it does make it very interesting in Group F all of a sudden. You know, there's every chance that they will nail every single game. They'll win all three of them and they'll score 12 goals in the process. It will be, you know, business as usual. But suddenly that question mark makes it very interesting, because they're in with some teams that can play. Mexico and Sweden, they have to play Mexico and Sweden first, and it'll be South Korea last. And that's no disrespect to South Korea, but on paper you would say that South Korea should be the weakest team in that group.
Well, there's drama in Mexico all of a sudden now. You know,
that's the great thing about Mexico. There's always drama in Mexico.
There's always drama.
They're used to
the drama.
But, yeah, but Germany aren't.
Yeah, they're trying to push Osorio out again, and they're trying to get a new coach before the World Cup, and it's all swinging around, and it's, you know, it's Mexico, man.
It's Mexico, but come on, that's what you want from Mexico. You want you want them to be, you know, fired up and fighting amongst themselves. Mexico are the great enigma, aren't they? Is that the certainly recent World Cups they've managed to get beyond the group stages, but never beyond the last 16. You know, they're never beyond the last 16 of a World Cup that's been away from Mexican soil. And you know, the playing Germany first up, that could be a massively explosive game. Amongst the opening games of each group, then Mexico Germany stands out massively, just as Spain Portugal does to that degree.
No, that is my second favorite of the opening matches is Germany Mexico. My first favorite obviously is Argentina Iceland, but Germany Mexico to me is like, this thing could be electric, man. This thing could be insane. This thing could have like, I mean, this thing could be off the hook. Stu, what do you think? I mean, this,
totally.
To me, it looks like Germany-Mexico, but, you know, a Zlatan-less Sweden, I don't know. South Korea, I don't know.
I think Stephen's right. I think sides thrive on chaos. They just thrive on it. And if it's not chaotic, something's not right. And I think it does bode well for Mexico. For Germany, it's uncharted territory in terms of preparation, this sort of preparation, even that it's got out, whatever it is that's, you know, that's really gone on, whatever's actually really happened, how serious the incident was, you know, maybe we'll never know, but from as long as I've been watching football and major tournaments from 82 onwards, as great as Brazil are and the fact that they've won more World Cups than anybody else, but for me, Germany, be it West Germany or Germany, have been the barometer of consistency. They are, along with the Italians, arguably, although they're not there, but Germany are classic tournament teams. They will always, bar, like we said, the Euro 2000 episode and there, but they will always turn up ready for tournament, and they are a good tournament side. You know, they have the tradition, the heritage, that they know how to, they know how to win tournaments. They know how to be successful at tournaments. One thing that I will say is the World Cup is incredibly difficult to retain. You know, as we've seen, I think Brazil are the last side to do it, 58-62. You know, it is an incredibly difficult tournament to win back-to-back. Obviously, before it used to, you know, alternate between South America and Europe. And to be fair to Germany this time, at least, their chance is now in, you know, in Europe. It's not like they've got to go to South America and retain it. You know, they do have the opportunity to retain it in Europe, but it's such a difficult tournament to win back to back. I think they'll do well. I think they'll win the group. I think when it comes to kickoff, they'll be ready. I think you're right. I think the Germany-Mexico game is the standout game for this group, but it's, as we go through this, my and I'm pricked by the sounds, but I think Stephen shares the same philosophy. The Latin American and South American countries, I would like it to be a South America or Latin, well, it won't be a Latin American, but certainly a South American country that wins this tournament. You know, I want to see Latin America and South America do really, really well in this tournament. Whether it will be the Mexicans, whether it'll be the Swedish who go through, for me, Germany definitely will. I would love it to be Mexico. I sincerely hope it will be Mexico. And that opening game is, all things being equal, like I said, it's such a juxtaposition of efficiency and chaos, whereas all of a sudden we've got a little bit of chaos creeping into that German camp, and what sort of impact will that have? I think secretly we all hope it'll have a massive impact. I think they'll turn up, you know, in Moscow, they'll turn up 4 o'clock and it'll be business as usual. But up until then, I pray for disharmony in the German camp.
A little bit of the French disunity.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
What do you think, Gary?
I think Steve, Steve said just is I absolutely agree with everything that he said. I think Germany will turn up and I think they will be on the ball because that's what they do. Talk of a disruption in the camp 10 days before the tournament starts, I wouldn't get too enthusiastic about that. I think Germany will win every game in that group and they'll win every game in that group fairly comfortably. I also would like to see Mexico go through. If I'm just to spice it up a bit, I think the problem for the team that finishes second in that group is the odds are they'll face Brazil in the first knockout round, so they probably won't go a great deal farther. Can't see any team in that group giving Germany any trouble at all, really. Sweden.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
I just can't see it, Jim. I can't see it.
So I'm going to go to you, Gary, to kick us off with Group G because that is where England sits. And this, I don't think it's a hard group for England. You know, we've got Belgium, we've got Panama, we've got Tunisia. I don't think highly of Panama coming out of CONCACAF, and I don't think highly of Tunisia. But Belgium, to me, is a team that is really talented but has a shit coach.
No, Jim, say what you think, Jim.
All right.
Well, personally, the World Cup winners are coming out of this group, clearly, because England are going to win the World Cup because, you know, they're the best team in the world. No, seriously. I think England have been really fortunate in being drawn in that group. Belgium, they're sort of like the maverick team. Obviously, there's so many other Belgian players playing the Premier League that we're quite familiar with so many of them. It's a bit like I was saying earlier about Messi. You know, one day this Belgian team will actually justify the talents that they have, and the whole team will actually gel, and they could go a long way. Whether it be this tournament, I don't know. I can't see Panama or Tunisia giving too much trouble to Belgium and England. I think England will get out of that group. The key game, obviously, then will be the last game between them. Who's going to win the group? I don't think England are out of the chances of topping the group. If somebody's put a gun to me and said you've got to pick a team to win the group, I'd pick Belgium, just because the number of outstanding players in their squad outnumbers the outstanding players in England's squad by a fair way. The thing is, will Belgium play as a team? Will they be able to extract the full benefit of their quality players? And that's the question. But I think if England don't get out of that group, I mean, it'll be almost more embarrassing than finishing bottom in the group 4 years ago.
Well, I've got a bigger question for Roberto Martinez. Maybe you can answer this, Stephen. Why did he leave Roger Nangalan off of that squad?
Good question.
Good question. That's the million-dollar question. There is, it's so mind-bending, really. You know, he must have some rabbits in the hat, some cards up his sleeve to play, to be able to leave a player of that caliber out of his squad. You know, that smacks of either, you know, a personal problem between the two, or, you know, there's some fitness issue that hasn't been, you know, broadcast. But if he can leave a player like that out of his squad, then he must have one of the, if not the best squad going into the tournament.
Well, he certainly didn't have a fitness issue at AS Roma.
No, exactly. So, you know, there's something behind the scenes there. You know, you just don't leave him out your squad. It's incredible to countenance. He should be in the side, let alone the squad. And I still expect Belgium to do very, very well out of this group. You know, despite the question marks over the coach, Roberto Martinez is a very complex coach, in that the big question mark over him was that he could never he could never construct a defence, whereas all of his teams that he's managed have been free-flowing, attack-minded. And for me, that's a big thumbs up, actually. You know, I don't want teams, like Stuart said earlier on, we don't want teams to set out to not lose or to frustrate. We want teams to go out there and play. And, you know, Martinez will aim to send his teams out there to win games. He can't set up to stifle. He has to set out to go for it. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do.
So
if this isn't England and Belgium going through here, you know, there's something seriously remiss with the entire tournament, really. No disrespect to Panama and Tunisia meant within that, but I think this is as clear-cut a group as the Spain-Portugal one is, if not more, because we can all point at Morocco potentially being the spanner in the works for Spain and Portugal. I don't see a spanner in this group for Belgium and England, and that's despite England simply being England.
Am I too harsh on Roberto Martinez?
No, I don't think you are. I think all the question marks over Roberto Martinez are very, very valid. But I think his attacking instinct and his, you know, ability to put out an attacking side does drift under the radar somewhere. They're not going to win this World Cup because they won't be able to defend.
Right.
You know, but he could, you know, if he doesn't take them to the quarterfinals, there's something wrong. They could reach the semi-finals, but they're not going to win it because at some point they'll need to defend, and I don't believe Martinez can construct a side that will adequately defend against a big hitting side.
Well, here's my concern, right? What if they have to play Colombia in their first knockout round and Colombia just wipes the floor with them?
But that would be potentially the game of the tournament. I want to see games like that. I want to see games between sides that will both be on the front foot. You know, this is the inner child speaking again. This is the, you know, these are the games. You know, I think the tournament will benefit if Belgium go through. You know, I don't, you know, of all the kind of like projected nations to do well, Belgium can't fall at the first hurdle. They've got to go through because they will provide entertainment in one way or another. And within that, they've got to go through. There's no percentage playing with Martinez. There's no percentage playing with Belgium. They'll try and win games. And I hope they do.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to love Belgium to a certain extent, right? Because so many of my, you know, club players play for that national side, right? So, you know, Eden Hazard, Thibaut Courtois, I mean, you know, I love so many of their players, and I want them to do
exactly
well.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. You see, Courtois, he's going to be probably one of the most employed goalkeepers of the tournament.
Oh, my God, but he's going to get shelled.
He's got... he's got the talent to kind of like throw out some proper match winning performances that, you know, Belgium shouldn't be taxed by this group. You know, England have the scope to do surprisingly well. I think the whole Roy Hodgson era has successfully killed expectation. You know,
as you Brits are so good at.
No, I think that's the beauty of the Hodgson era is that it's killed any kind of expectation. But you know, Gareth Southgate's an interesting, you know, a surprisingly interesting concept is that, you know, as a club manager he didn't do particularly well and he took Middlesbrough down. But you know, when he was sat by Middlesbrough, he was actually on the brink of a promotion push, and you know, he knows all. He's one of these coaches that has the theory. He knows all the textbook theory, and it's whether he can, you know, translate that into on-pitch practicalities. And he's got a young squad of promising but not world-class players. And again, you know, the way that the draw could pan out is that he could take England far, and both of the teams that you would expect to go from this group could go into the latter stages of the tournament. England have managed to, they aren't one of the expected winners of a tournament anymore, but they've now managed to successfully place themselves within that second tier of nations that if the wind blows in a particular direction, it could take them far into a tournament, just as Sweden have done and Bulgaria have done and Croatia have done in tournaments. You know, they could be that dark horse not to win it, but to make a quarterfinal or a semi-final. And of course, we all know that if you get to that stage of the tournament, then you know all you're away from is a poor referee's decision or a rash red card away from, you know, making history for yourself. The great thing about Southgate is he played for England for, you know, at a serious level. You know, he was, you know, in the central defence of an England side that nearly made it to a European Championship final. You know, so on a playing capacity, he's got a squad of players that will look at him, not like previous squads have looked at Roy Hodgson, and some were, if not consciously, subconsciously thinking, who the hell are you? And what can you tell me about playing in the finals of a major tournament? But Southgate can actually say that. They can actually look at him and say, well, you played in a European Championship semi-final. You know, you went to a World Cup. And, you know, Southgate is one of those that talks a good game. And they could be one of the surprises of the tournament. They're not going to win it, but they could be one of the surprise names towards the tail end of the tournament.
So we move to the last group, which to me looks like Colombia and kind of everybody else, Japan, Poland, and Senegal. Convince me otherwise, Stu.
I can't. I think you're absolutely right. I think Lewandowski will, it's a big tournament for him. I think.
Yeah, but who else does he have around him?
That's what I mean. I think there is a lot of expectation on his shoulders. I think if Poland are to do well, he has to do well. If you look at other teams that you've just talked about, the Belgians, you know, you can share the wealth, you know, as they say, in terms of taking responsibility. But I think for Poland, it's all or nothing on one man's shoulders. You know, and as the seeded team in that group, it's a lot of pressure, you know, for one man to carry. I think Colombia will win the group. I think probably Senegal will probably put up most resistance in terms of being one of the two sides that qualify. I think if Lewandowski plays at the level that he can play at, I think he has enough to carry his team throughout the group. I don't see them going much further. I don't see them progressing beyond the last 16. I think, you know, we mentioned a potential Belgium-Colombia last 16 game. And again, I know we keep going back to it. And Stephen, now you chat about, you know, sort of the 86 World Cup and, you know, the games as soon as you reach the last 16 were just phenomenal. And I would love to see Belgium-Colombia in the last 16. You know, they're the sort of games that make tournaments. They're the sort of games that make World Cups memorable. And that's, you know, we keep going back to it. It's what I want to see from this World Cup. I want to enjoy a World Cup again. I'm done with the whole pinning my hopes on England and, you know, and sort of becoming almost blinkered to what's going on because I want England to do well. I'd like England to do well. You know, Stephen's absolutely nailed it. I have zero expectation in terms of England progressing. If they progress, it'll be great. You know, and I'll, as much as any other English from watching it, you know, I will want them to do well, but in terms of in the past, maybe the last, you know, England's performances has been tied up with my experiences of the World Cup, but this year I am determined that England will just be a sideshow until it gets to the business end. And if they're still there in the last eight or the last four, then maybe my focus will change. But all I'm after is great games, and for me, Colombia have to qualify from that group. And like I say, if Lewandowski performs, Poland will. If not, I think it'll be Senegal, and that can only be a good thing for the tournament as well. As much as, you know, I'd like to see a South American winner, I also would like to see South Africa. I'd like to see the continent of Africa, you know, well represented in the knockout stage as well, because again, they, you know, they bring so much vibrancy, you know, to a tournament and, absolutely, and the World Cup.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I agree. I love it. I love it. Gary?
I'm going to kick against the accepted wisdom here. I think Poland will win the group. And I'm not cynical, they'll finish second.
Whoa! Ooh. Whoa!
You go. You've got to throw the wild card in sometimes, guys. You've got to throw the wild card. I look at the group and I just think there's a cigarette paper between between three of the teams there. And I think because of Poland's location being near to not that far away from Russia anyway, there's an advantage there. Colombia do not perform particularly well in European World Cups. And I don't see any logical reason to assume that will change. It might do, but I don't see a reason why it should. And I think Senegal could be one of those unexpected teams that do really well. So I personally, I can see the logic of saying Colombia, but if I was going to pick two out of that group, I'd go for Poland and Senegal.
Oh, wow, that's a big shout. That's a big shout.
Wow.
Big shout.
Let me hear it to you first, guys. You heard it to you first.
I have it noted right here. Gary Thacker. Bang, right there.
Sometimes you just got to call them as you see them. You've got to call them as you see them.
I love it. I love it. So, Stephen, are you going to break the tie here? Are you going to be radical as well?
Again, it's one of those groups that, you know, you skim over when you first see it, but then when you come and look at it, you know, for a second go, suddenly it looks that bit more interesting. You know, Poland, say, you know, beyond Lewandowski, what else have they got? You know, I could see him walking away with golden boot, but Poland not progressing from the group. You know, he could score goals for fun, and his nation does not. Like, was it Oleg Salenko in USA 94? You know, he was the joint top scorer in the tournament. Yeah,
yep.
Russia failed to make it beyond the group stages. You know, that wouldn't come as a surprise. You know, would anyone be surprised if you put five past Japan? You know, no disrespect, but within that, would anyone be surprised if Japan went through? You know, these are nations that have come a long way since they first started tipping up at tournaments. And again, this is a group where any permutation could go through. You would hope it's Colombia for the way that they play. You know, an African nation will go through. You know, since Morocco, I think it was in 86, became the first African nation to make it to the knockout stages of a World Cup. There hasn't been a World Cup without an African nation in the knockout stages. It will happen again. Senegal could be that nation. I'd personally go for Colombia and Senegal to go through, with Poland labouring. But none of these nations going through would be a surprise. None of these nations going out would be a surprise for me, apart from Colombia. Gary's right in Colombia's historical struggles in European World Cups. They did get to the knockout stages of Italia 90, but then the infamous game against Cameroon where they shot themselves in the foot when Higuita got caught with the ball outside his penalty area. But yeah, you know, I want Colombia to go through, and it could be anyone that does.
Well, I was going to do my John McLaughlin again and go wrong, but Stephen is absolutely correct. Colombia, Senegal.
Let's see, singing from the same hymn sheet again, Jim.
So next on my list was quarterfinal surprises. Who's going to be the quarterfinal surprise of the tournament? Gary.
Denmark.
Stu.
That's simple.
I'm going to go Uruguay, although it's not a surprise. But
no, that's not
I
a
think...
surprise. Come on.
Peru.
Ooh, good one. Good one.
Thank you.
That was mine, actually. What was yours, Stephen?
Sorry.
Who's yours, Stephen?
England.
England. I'm sorry. Could we just rewrite the entire series here for a second? Stephen, who's your quarterfinal surprise?
My surprise quarterfinalists are England.
Oh, dear.
You heard it here first. But to a lot of people, that will be a massive surprise that England do make it to the quarterfinals. But yeah, beyond that, no, Peru.
Yeah, see, Peru to me is like they're the team I'm kind of rooting for, right? They're the guys that you want to be there, right? They're the guys I want them to be there. So, but so we could take an hour and talk about Iceland, except for the fact that I want to get everyone's winner out of this. So. Stu.
Oh, France.
No fucking way. No way.
Yep.
Wow.
I think if they can hold it together and live together for the best part of 5 weeks without leaving or going on strike or falling out, I think they'll win it.
Wow. You already said
best,
it. So
best equipped side. Yeah.
You're insane. So we're moving to Gary.
it's probably the most predictable answer. I think Germany will win it. They sent the reserve to play the Confederations Cup. When I said the reserve, there's some of their third choice players, and they walk that. I can't see past Germany. I'd like to see somebody else win it. I'd like to see Spain. I'd like to see France. I'd like to see Argentina for Messi, because I just want him to appear in a World Cup and demonstrate his supreme ability. Belgium put it all together, who knows? But, you know, if somebody put your gun to your head, how difficult is it to say anything other than Germany?
Stephen.
My inner child is going for Brazil. It's going for Brazil. They're going to walk their group, and their path to the semi-final isn't all that arduous. Within that, so many nations could win this World Cup, but there's reasons for half a dozen sides to win this World Cup, but there's reasons for every single one of those nations not to win it. And for Germany, it's that concept of how difficult it is to retain a World Cup. Argentina is the messy question mark. You know, he's 30 now. There's a degree of Argentina for this one, which is similar to kind of like Brazil in 86, when they were just that little bit over the edge and people still thought they'd go far. And they did to an extent, but it was just a bridge too far. And I think it's a bridge too far for Argentina. There is no Italy, you know, which is, don't underestimate the fact that the composition of this World Cup is so different because of Italy's lack of involvement in it. Normally, they are such a pillar of a World Cup that what you're looking for is, if not for them to win it, who has to get past them to win it? And that hurdle not being there is so massive. So massive. It won't be, you know, a Newman. But it's like, you know, you can look at Portugal who won Euro 2016. But as a functional, you know, side that kind of were a letdown from Portuguese sides of the past. Spain, you can point to Spain, but has their time been and gone now? You know, there are huge question marks over every single candidate that you could come up with to potentially win this World Cup. France, but Deschamps is, there's just something, you know, he's functional again, he's what do Cantona call them, the water carrier. Has he got the key to the door? That, you know, for the want of a better analogy, has he got the key to the door? You know, he can take you up to the door like he did on home soil at Euro 2016, yet not get them over the line. You know, if he can't do that on home soil for a European Championship, what's different now, 2 years on, for him to go and do it in Russia for the World Cup? You know, there'll be scars from losing that European Championship finals on home soil, just as they were for Portugal after Euro 2004, when I think they went to the semi-finals of the World Cup, but then again fell. You know, it's that concept of reliving the nightmare of losing a tournament that was theirs for the winner. And there is a reason for every candidate that we can come up with not to win it. And within that, though, that's what makes this World Cup somewhat attractive. There's not going to be a surprise winner in it. No one will be surprised by the eventual winner. But everyone is flawed.
Well,
every single side is flawed.
My winner is Spain.
Spain.
I thought you were going to say Iceland then, Jim.
No. I'm a realist. My winner is Spain, and it's because of experience and leadership.
Yeah. It's not a bad call, Jim. I shall be in Spain by then, and there'll doubtless be a party there. And if they win, I'll be joining in the party.
But, you know, the interesting thing is that none of us chose Argentina.
No, true. I did mention them, but I suppose there's this sort of, just picking up on what the guy said earlier, you know, we're all sort of locked into a historical thing as well, aren't we? And South American teams winning in Europe doesn't really happen. Obviously, you've got so many South American players playing in European leagues now, so it's probably less of an issue, but there's still a relevance there, perhaps.
I think it's interesting that, you know, Messi's probably the best player in the world right now, but, you know, I think Sampaoli is not doing the right things. And I brought it up earlier with Mauro Icardi, right? And I think he's messing up the Argentinian team.
Yeah, it's a fair call, Jim. I mean, Icardi's a real weird one. I mean, they are overloaded with decent strikers. You know, got Messi, Dybala, Higuain, Aguero. So, I mean, they've got plenty of options there. You might make an argument for each of them, including Icardi. But you look at their squad and their, you know, they ought to be there or thereabouts. Whether they will be, perhaps it's a different matter, but they ought to be there or thereabouts.
Well, certainly, if you win the Coppa Cannoneri, you think you'd be on the World Cup team, don't you?
You'd have a pretty good plan if you're not, Jim, that's for sure. I mean, if you're top scorer in Serie A, that takes some doing.
So, anyway, I want to thank all of you for coming on this this special series-ending podcast. Stu, my man, I know you had a junior football league tournament you had to attend today.
yeah, it was. I'd probably equate it to England's performances, probably, if I had to sum up the tournament and how we did. I would liken it to an England performance. Promised a lot, and in the end, like I say, it was the hope that killed us. we thought we could. We thought we might. We hoped we could. We hoped we might. We didn't.
You know, it brought a thought to me earlier, actually, which was, I'll bet there's more people in the United States that think that the United States is going to win the World Cup than there are in England that think they're going to win the World Cup.
We've had plenty of years of heartache, Jim.
Yeah. It battle scarred doesn't even come close.
No. The one big question I'd ask though, Stu, is for the tournament today, as your team dropped out of the tournament, did you not kind of like get your phone out and play some kind of end montage theme tune? Like,
it was
the Streets. Yeah, Chris, it's either the Streets, Cry Your Eyes Out, or Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. Or something like that.
I could do with I was looking for a witty one liner from Des Lynam. I was hoping to be able to put it all into perspective for everyone in just a sentence, but alas, Des wasn't around. It was left to me to sort out.
There's always the old title, Sue. There's always the old
title
line. There's always next season, guys.
That's it. Yeah. Although they'll tell you how many days it is till the start of the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around 80, I think.
Yeah, that's usually what gets punted down.
All right. Well, listen, Gary, thank you so much. You've been a critical part of this series, as always. We love you. Thank you.
Bless you, Jim. Been an honor and a privilege, my friend.
And Stephen, my co-host, my friend, what an honor. What a privilege. What an absolute...
Oh, it's been,
I can't tell you what it means
to me.
It's
been a hell of a ride, Jim.
Oh.
It has. From you know, cooking this up in London all those months ago to actually doing it and now completing it. You know, what have we done? 20-odd hours, you know, or so on and so forth. And it's just been a joy to do because everyone that we've got involved, everyone who's come on and given their time to take part in this, they've all made it what it is. And every one of them's been an absolute star. And we'll get the band back together for the European Championships in 2020.
You know, this is reliving my life, my friend. This is, you know, I mean, seriously, this is, you know, going back.
It
over,
has it.
You know.
That's the great thing. It's brought so much back. And, you know, you think you remember things and it's so much more comes back in, you know. And it's just been great that it's been such an organic series as well. And everyone who's come in, it has just been like going down the pub and talking football with friends for a couple of hours and then staggering home to bed. It's been great.
It really inspired me actually to write that Panini article
yeah,
I wrote
yeah, you
yesterday,
could,
you know. And
you could feel that, Jim. You could feel that in that sense of nostalgia that this series has brought has been brilliant. And you could see it in that article you wrote.
And it's just, I don't know. I'm actually crying right now, so I don't want to do that. But this, it's very touching. It's very touching. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Bless you, Jim.
It's been a pleasure, Jim.
It has, absolutely. Like I say, and fair play to certainly to you and Steve. I mean, I am a fan of football, and whether I was involved, I mean, it's been brilliant to be involved, but even just to listen to it, I mean, I walk the dog and I listen to them over and over. Granted, they're quite long and the dog's quite tired by the time we're done. But, you know, it's just brought so much back. It's like, and like I say, I think without being over dramatic, I think my anticipation of this World Cup and my hopeful enjoyment of it has literally been triggered, I think, by these podcasts. Like Stephen said, it's brought back, it's dragged up memories that some I'd had and, you know, they've always had, but some that I'd just forgotten about. And it's just been like reliving the last sort of 35 years of my life, which, and the good bits, to be fair. It's just been brilliant.
I hope we can.
Oh, it has, because it's almost like the recent World Cups have been endured in a way. The interesting thing for me is that within this, as the podcasts have gone on, and that's no disrespect to the later ones, is that I found those harder to do because of that lack of enthusiasm for those World Cups. But the great thing is that we've had people on at the perfect times, really, because we've had them on.
Yes.
To talk about the World Cups that they've been most passionate about. And then that's kind of like propelled me then. So hearing Chris talk about kind of like 2002 and 2006, you know, World Cups that I felt would be difficult to talk about, you know, it brought so much back because there was actually, no, that was good and that was good. And you know, it inspired me. You know, and that was one of the great things, is that in a way I wasn't not looking forward to them, but I thought they'd be so much harder because it's so easy to talk about the 1982 World Cup for me, so easy to talk about Mexico 86, and I might have slagged it off, but it's easy to talk about Italia 90, whereas, you know, for me it would be difficult to talk about the more recent World Cups, but they've still been easy because the people who've come on and spoke about them so glowingly as kind of like touched me, and it's just worked perfectly.
Absolutely. It's It's been wonderful. It's been a 6 month journey of expression and joy, happiness. It, you know, just, it's wonderful. And I want to thank you all so much. So much for taking this journey with me and Stephen, because it's just, I mean, I'm just smiling ear to ear. I'm just so happy right now. So thank you. And
cheers,
the,
Jim. Cheers, Dave.
And the audience,
cheers, guys.
You know, and the audience, I just want to thank you for hanging in there with us. And you know,
the, definitely, because it's ended up being twice the length that we intended it to be.
Oh my God!
These podcasts were only going to be an hour about, and each one has been like 2 hours. And even in talking with this one as a preview of 2018, it's still stretched out to an hour and a half, you know, so much longer than we ever envisaged them to be. But it's because of the enthusiasm of the people who've been involved that has rolled them forward the way they have. And it's worked out great. It's really worked out wonderfully.
I mean, you guys are just so enthusiastic. I mean, I really can't believe how enthusiastic and how wonderful you guys are online, in person, etc., when it comes to, you know, expressing your enthusiasm about these football times and the community that we build around these football times and what, you know, what Omar has built. You know, because this is really Omar, right? I mean,
totally.
You know, I mean, yeah, Omar and I are partners, but this is Omar, right? I mean, this is his vision, and this is his, you know, thing, and I support it 100%. And it is a joy and a passion of mine to do that. So, you know. For me, this is me supporting Omar and me supporting his vision. And that's why I do it. And, you know, I think that's the final word I want to say, is that I love Omar. I support him. I do this, you know, because I love it. I absolutely love it. Thank you.